Hallo, schön, dass du wieder da bist zum Podcast Feel Fantastic. Natürlich feminin gesund, der Podcast für alle Frauen, die ihr Leben und ihre Gesundheit in die eigene Hand nehmen wollen. Mein Name ist Julia und ich habe heute einen ganz besonderen Gast hier im Podcast, und zwar ist das Stefan. Stefan ist Australier, deswegen wird dieser Podcast oder dieses Interview auf Englisch sein. Aber keine Angst, wenn du Englisch nicht so gut verstehst, besonders ja, wenn da medizinische Begriffe drin sind, die man nicht ja, im Alltag benutzt, auch wenn man der englischen Sprache mächtig ist, du findest auf meiner Website eine Übersetzung von diesem Interview. Da kannst du alles wirklich nachlesen, das gesamte Interview. Deswegen hat dieses Interview auch etwas länger gedauert, bis es rauskommt. Aber ich freue mich wahnsinnig, dass ich Stefan tatsächlich in den Podcast bekommen konnte. Ja, Stefan ist wie gesagt Australier und ich kenne ihn von meinem Auslandsaufenthalt dort. Ich habe dort ein Jahr lang Naturopathy studiert, was eigentlich so viel bedeutet wie Naturheilkunde. Das ist nämlich dort ein vierjähriges Studium. Ich habe ein Jahr tatsächlich mitgemacht und das war eine wundervolle Erfahrung. Und Stefan war tatsächlich mit mir im Kurs, im Jahrgang, und wir haben uns angefreundet, beziehungsweise waren wir eine ganze Gruppe, und mit Stefan habe ich jetzt einfach diesen Podcast aufgenommen und ihn hier in den Podcast eingeladen. Und er hat sich auch sehr gefreut, mit dabei zu sein. Und wir sprechen über die körpereigene Entgiftung, die Aufgabe der Leber und wie wir uns da tatsächlich etwas stärken können und warum das auch so wichtig ist, da immer wieder auch etwas zu tun für die körpereigene Entgiftung. Und ja, bleib einfach mit dabei. Wir haben uns für jeden ordentlich und deutlich zu sprechen, aber wie gesagt, du findest die deutsche Übersetzung auf meiner Website, und jetzt wünsche ich dir ganz viel Spaß mit diesem Interview.
Hi Stefan, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Julia. I'm really looking forward to it.
Before we start, I wanted to ask you, or could you tell us what you had for breakfast this morning? It's always so exciting to listen to you, what you had to eat.
I was in somewhat of a rush this morning because I started school quite early, so it's very simple. I just had some leek cooked in broth and some lamb heart as well, and then I had a little bit of avocado, yeah, and some herbs and spices, yeah. not a typical person's breakfast, I suppose.
Yeah, no, but I think I had someone with broth before on the podcast. You know, for the guys listening, I know Stefan, like, we studied together in naturopathy. I don't know, like, your food was always so special. I just remember your lunch that you brought, or maybe it was your breakfast. I'm not really sure. It was brunch. Always was so. It wasn't really smoothie consistency. It was special.
Yeah. I was very much into the keto diet then, and like just really high fat and coconut cream avocado. But I really enjoyed them, to be honest. Yeah.
Do you still do the keto diet, or do you eat differently now?
Yeah, I do eat differently. I suppose I eat more like cyclical, like with the season. So it's you know, coming to the end of summer in Australia here. So I've been including a lot more fruit in my diet, a lot more carbs. And when I have been doing the keto diet, I've been more cyclical with that as well. So when I was doing it for so long and I wasn't really having any carbohydrate refeeds, it wasn't really working for me. I wasn't really admitting that either. I was like, oh no, just like, you got to do more keto and like, do it more better, and it didn't really work out for me. So a bit more balanced now, I suppose. A lot of fresh fruits and veggies when they're in season, and I do love my animal products as well, I think.
Okay, so you do need the carbs to feel better?
Yeah, at certain times I do, I feel, yeah.
Stefan, could you tell us more about yourself? How come you study naturopathy? Like, what is the story? What is your story?
I love this. I love this question. Who doesn't like talking about themselves, right? this sort of story of mine started when I was around, I think I was about 19 or 18, 19. Yeah, 19, 20 maybe. I was studying my commerce degree, economics and finance at uni. I just got sick one day and I thought it was a cold. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll be better in a week or so. And then a week passed, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, you know, a long time, like maybe a couple of months. And I thought, I wasn't really getting better. I thought, this is not a normal cold. So I went and saw my doctor, who was also my childhood doctor. And she's like, oh, it's just a cold. Like, you'll get over it. Like, you don't have to think it's anything more than that. Like, don't be such a hypochondriac. But it didn't really sit right with me. So I went and saw another doctor, and she said, like, you sound like you've had glandular fever or are going through it right now. So she gave me the blood test, and sure enough, I had active Epstein-Barr virus in my system. And she said, you know, it's normal what you're feeling right now. You just really need to rest up and take it very easy, you know, deload essentially, like get rid of a lot of commitments that you don't need, and you'll get better soon. But I didn't really. I did the resting. I took it easy. But I just never bounced back. Like, I just felt horrible all the time. Like, I was sleeping, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours, or I was in bed for those amount of time rather. And I lost a lot of weight really quickly. And I'm already quite a skinny guy, so for me to lose weight was, you know, not ideal. Yeah, I couldn't think straight. Like, I'd gone from being one of the top performers in my high school to just, you know, really struggling to even read a textbook of my economics, books. And I thought, what's going on here? This isn't normal. So I went back to the doctor and she said, oh yeah, you probably got post-viral fatigue. So she booked me in with like a lot of specialists, got a lot of referrals there, sleep specialist, kidney specialist, like a rheumatologist, because I was getting a lot of pain as well. And apart from the rheumatologist, everything else came back normal. So the doctors were, you know, they do their blood tests and whatever, and they'd look at it and say, oh, well, your tests are fine, so you're perfectly healthy. But I feel like they weren't really looking at me, because if you were to look at me, the person, not the piece of paper, you could see that I was struggling. Like, I had bags under my eyes. I couldn't even stand up straight. I needed to hold onto the table to stand up. I was that weak and I was shaking a lot because I was just so low energy. So like, the doctor was sort of working with this diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. They were trying to sort of narrow it down which one it was. But like, one of our sessions, I said, oh, you know, what's the difference in treatment for both of them? Like, what is there, like, a vastly different treatment we have? And she said, oh, we don't actually know how to treat either of them. We're just trying to get a diagnosis for you. And I just thought, what's the point of that? Like, I'm literally wasting my money here for a name of a disease that is not going to help me in any way. So eventually, after, you know, all the specialists and everything, she said, look, Steph, I can't really help you. It's beyond my scope now. Like, I've done everything I know to do. You're better off going into another modality and seeing what they can do for you. So luckily for me, mum had been seeing a naturopath. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll go and see her. She started talking to me about gut health and parasites and detoxification and all these concepts I was not really familiar with. Like, you know, I'd heard a little bit about each of them, but I sort of dismissed them as cuckoo almost. You know, you hear about these lemon detoxes on television and how they don't really do anything. And that's what I knew about detox. Like, oh, it's all a scam. Like, it's all people just trying to make money. But she explained it to me, like, how, you know, your body actually accumulates these wastes over time. And when you're compromised, like I was with this glandular fever, your body isn't really good at getting rid of them. So it takes a lot longer, it's very energy intensive to get these things out. So I started working with her and got some results. I started putting on a bit of weight again, which was really good. But it wasn't like the silver bullet, essentially. There was still like a lot missing. So I started to see an acupuncturist and I improved a little bit more. I saw an osteo and I improved a little bit more. But I was still dealing with a lot of pain every day. I still like had brain fog. Like, I could still function at uni, thankfully, now. Like, I could still read and stuff like that. But I wasn't back to myself. So I kept searching. And it wasn't until the final year of my economics degree that I just happened to change my dentist. And she was a holistic dentist and quite expensive. And she's like, you know, why are you here to see me? Because, you know, like, you can get dental work done anywhere, but there's a reason you're here to see me today. And I just started telling her my story. And I said, look, these are symptoms I've got. And I was like, I'm really just, I don't know what to do next. Like, I feel like I'm running out of options here. I'm about to give up. And she said, look, you sound like the poster boy for mercury toxicity. And I said, okay, well, tell me more about that. So she said, you know, these are the symptoms that people would have, like, you know, long lasting illnesses, you know, really like a long time to recover from, like, even something like a cold, you know, cold hands and feet, low energy, brain fog, joint pain. So we decided to test me for it. We just did a hair tissue mineral analysis. So chop off some of my hair, send it to a lab. And I think in about 6 weeks, they send you back the results. And sure enough, my mercury levels came back off the charts high. So despite that sounding like a terrible thing, having like a lot of mercury in my system, I was just so, so thankful that I finally had something to work with. You know, all those years of, you know, like being sick and not knowing what to do and trying to, you know, quote unquote, be healthy, it wasn't really helping me a lot. It helped a little bit. But when I started on this protocol to get rid of mercury, my pain started decreasing really quickly. Like, my brain started turning back on. I didn't need to sleep, you know, 10, 12 hours a night to feel all right. I just started getting my life back. So it's, I suppose you could say, like, detoxification really saved my life in a way.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know how you got the mercury in your system?
I think there are two big sources. So one of the biggest ones is mercury fillings. Now, I didn't have any, luckily, but my mum did, and apparently they get passed down through the placenta to the child. So that's probably one big exposure. And the second one would have probably been like having a lot of tuna as well. So when I was quite sick, I, you know, didn't have very much energy to be cooking. So, you know, a can of tuna with, you know, like some veggies was just a very easy meal to make. So because my system was quite compromised, I was really like fatigued and had low energy. I probably didn't have the energy to adequately detoxify those toxins in my body. So they were allowed to build up, so to speak, quicker than they would have otherwise. And I suspect that's like those are the main two things there.
Okay. Yeah. That's so interesting. Like I had 3 mercury fillings. I had them removed just recently. And I'm so glad that I did that. Yeah. So I'm on a detox right now, like I'm doing chlorella and that kind of stuff. And yeah. Something else. I don't know what it is in English. We talked about it last time and I still haven't what it is. I'm so sorry.
Like a garlic type one or something?
Sorry?
Was it like a garlic like type supplement, I think? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of garlic. Yeah. I would have to look it up. I haven't done it yet. So I'm doing this detox right now. Yeah. And funny is that I also did the hair tissue analysis, mineral analysis, and like there was no mercury on there. Could you talk a bit more about this test? Does it always detect what's going on in your body, or what does it show?
It's a really good question. It doesn't actually. So I was quite lucky to actually show up with mercury. So the way the hair test works is it only shows what you're actually excreting from your body. So the hair is one way we actually excrete toxins from our body. So the fact that I had such high levels meant that my body was actually getting rid of some of it, which was good. But the fact that I had so much meant I was getting rid of a lot of it. And it's also to do with the form of mercury. So I think the hair measures methyl mercury, which is what you get from eating fish. Now, don't quote me on that. I could be the wrong way around there, but it could mean that you weren't excreting very much from your hair, or it could be that you had the different form of mercury that means it didn't really show up in your system.
Mm.
After a few years of you know, being on a detoxification program, I retested and aluminium showed up quite high, lead showed up quite high. And I, as far as I could tell, I'd really done a lot to reduce my aluminium exposure. And I don't really know too much about where we get lead, but the fact that that showed up high sort of meant that I was pulling out this lead from deeper storage, that my body was actually detoxifying and now was, you know, having a chance to get rid of these built up toxins that I've accumulated over my lifetime.
Hmm. Okay. So that means that we actually store this heavy metal somewhere in our body and it could be stored there and not be detected in our hair because we're just not getting rid of it through the hair or at all, because it's still stored there and we have to do something to I don't know, loosen it up, like getting it out of the storage of our body, wherever it is stored. It could be like, where could it be stored? Fat cells?
So a lot of these toxins are what we call fat soluble. So we've got fat soluble and water soluble, like we do with our vitamins. So with our vitamins, we've got the B vitamins, which are more water soluble, and then and vitamin C as well. And then we've got vitamins A, D, E, and K, which are fat soluble. So you can store them for a lot longer. The same is with toxins. There are some that are water soluble and you can get rid of very quickly. And then there are some that are fat soluble, like these heavy metals. So, you know, mercury has seems to have an affinity for like brain tissue, testicles, thyroid, things like that. Aluminium seems to deposit in the brain a lot, lead in the bone. So these heavy metals, like our body puts them in these organs for a reason. It's because it's very toxic if they're to float around in the bloodstream. So the body's like, we don't have the energy to deal with this. It's not safe to deal with this right now. Let's store this away somewhere until we are strong enough or more capable to actually deal with this.
Okay. I was told that I have a lot of aluminium in my system. Mm-hmm. It was this, I don't know. I'm not really sure how I feel about this kind of testing. It was like, I don't know what is in English. Resonance, like you're holding something in your hand and then it's sending like kind of waves in your body, getting information from your body. So
is it the oligo scan by any chance?
I have no idea what it is in English, but
I tried one of those too and it came back very similar to my hair test, so I thought that was you know, some points for it, but I don't understand how it works either. But always willing to give it a try and see what comes up.
Okay, that's interesting. Like I'm thinking about it, like aluminium for me, it makes lots of sense. It's because when I was, I don't know, 15, 18,
yeah,
something around there, I was so stressed that I was sweating a lot in school. Like it's a bit embarrassing to like to talk about it, but it just happened. Like I was so tense when I was sitting in school and I was so stressed about it. And I went to the doctor and what she gave me was like a prescription for aluminium, like basically like in liquid form. And I was putting it under my arms and it helped. Yeah. It helped, but I think I got a lot of now. And it just, like all the stuff we use, it's like, yeah, deodorant, we have it in there. We have like, we're using aluminium foil. Like, yep. I don't know, it's everywhere. Before we go any deeper, could you tell us more about how detoxification in our body works?
Yeah, so I would start to say that we have a number of organs of elimination. So everyone, when we think of detox, we think of the liver straight away, you know, our biggest organ by weight. And we've got kidneys as well, which flushes things out through the urine. And then we've got our gastrointestinal tract, our gut, that, you know, we eat our food, we poop things out, and it comes out that way. We've got our lymphatic system also involved in detoxification, our lungs to a degree as well with our breath. And then we've got the skin as well through sweat. The way it sort of works in a very sort of general sense is that we'll look at the liver because that's the one most involved in this process. The liver has three phases of detoxification. So we've got phase one where the toxins are actually, they undergo a process called hydrolysis or oxidation, where these toxins are actually made more toxic in the short term and more reactive. So they're actually a bit more dangerous in this sense. But fortunately, when they undergo phase two detoxification, these substances are bound to another, or they're conjugated with another substance. That could be a methyl group. It could be glutathione. It could be an acetyl group. It could be amino acids. The idea of that is to make them water soluble, so they're easier to excrete with the bile, so via our feces, or just excrete out with urine. And by making them water soluble, they're also less toxic, less reactive to the body. Then phase three is actually when these substances are transported to the bile, they're able to be escorted out of the body. Their body is very efficient. So, and bile is quite expensive for the body to make. So rather than just make new bile all the time and excrete all these toxins, the body's like, well, we're just going to recycle a lot of this bile. So you can actually, if you're not using things to upregulate phase three detoxification, you can actually be just reabsorbing most of the same toxins over and over again, not actually excreting very much. So when people say, you know, you don't need to worry about detoxification, our body does it for you. Yes, it does. But there are still so many things we actually need in the first place as a prerequisite. And two, there are definitely ways we can sort of manipulate these systems as well. So at the bare minimum, like for phase one and phase two detoxification, we need the cofactors for this process to occur. So we need our B vitamins. We need certain amino acids to make glutathione. So it's not that we can just sit back and forget about it and, you know, eat a standard Western diet, because we may be deficient in a number of these key nutrients. Magnesium especially is a very important one, because for one, magnesium drives a lot of the reactions that make ATP, energy in our body. And magnesium is also needed to activate some of the pumps within our cells to pump toxins out of the cells. So, and we know, like, as a culture, we tend to be quite deficient in magnesium. We're all stressed out all the time, so we have a high need for it, and we're not really getting enough dietarily as well.
Yeah, I do take a lot of magnesium because I figured I need it. I was taking a little bit and I never noticed anything, like didn't notice the change. And then like a naturopath told me, oh, Julia, you could take a lot more. I was taking a lot more and I could feel the difference.
Yeah.
I really, need a lot of it. And I think it's also important what type of magnesium you take. I think there are like big differences, to be honest. What are you taking? What kind of magnesium?
Yeah, I'm taking magnesium glycinate. So it's either, you would know it as biglycinate, diglycinate, or just magnesium glycinate. Yep. So it's magnesium bound to a glycine group. And supposedly these are very readily absorbed in the body. They're very easy to absorb. So the issue with a number of magnesium products is different forms have different levels of bioavailability. And glycinate seems to be one of the better ones of those ones. And the actual, an extra benefit of that is because it is bound to this glycine molecule, which is an amino acid, glycine is actually one of the three amino acid precursors for glutathione, a master antioxidant that's involved heavily in phase two detoxification.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Yeah, I also recommend it all the time. Like if you take magnesium, go for magnesium glycinate. No, what is it called in English?
Yeah, glycinate, I don't know.
Yeah, glycinate, yeah. Okay, I think maybe some people know about liver phase 1 and 2, but now you say there is a third phase.
Yeah, sometimes people call phase 2 and 3 together and just call it phase 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just pretty much the making it water soluble and then excreting it out. Making sure we actually get it out of the body once it gets to the bile.
What I think is important, many people start with supporting the liver, but what I think is also important to firstly support your gut.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
It's like if you go backwards, like, you know, this is the last phase, yeah. So to say, you would excrete these toxins. And yeah, if you like support your liver and it's like detoxing so well right now, but you still, your gut isn't actually going.
I would agree. So like I often say, like, you know, you need to pre-tox before you detox. And the pre-tox is making sure you're going to take a poo at least once or twice a day.
Yeah.
Making sure you're having enough water so you're, you know, you're taking a pee a few times a day. And then you got your extras like lymphatic system, which I don't know if your listeners know too much about it, but the lymphatic system doesn't have its own pump. So it's sort of like our second circulatory system. So with our circulatory system, we've got our heart that pumps around our blood. With the lymphatic system, it is moved by movement. So you need to be moving throughout the day. Even deep breathing can help to a certain extent, but we need to make sure we're doing that. And then we have other practices like dry skin brushing or alternating hot and cold in the shower, which can also help our lymphatic system be draining. But I would agree with you, like, you need to make sure that you're pooping first. Like, at no point like doing all these fancy liver supplements if you're not pooping.
Yeah, that's true. If you start with your gut, you already like do something for detoxification as well, because
yeah,
like you're better equipped to actually get it out, like all the toxins. And then you still can do something for your liver.
I think also with the liver, because it is involved in bile production, sometimes we're constipated simply because we're not producing enough bile, or the bile we are producing is of a poor quality. It's quite sluggish. So sometimes people just need to enhance the liver's production of bile, and then they can be pooping better. Like this was a certain friend of mine, like she struggled with constipation, and it was just like after looking after her liver that she really just started going to the bathroom. It was just, everything else, she tried all the laxatives, everything, but it wasn't until like the liver got right that she started pooping again. So yeah.
So what can we do for bile production? How can we improve that? How can we improve pooping?
Well, I think with pooping, with all these reactions, actually, I think it's really important to talk about the nervous system first, because we talk about pre-toxing to detox, but even one step before that, we need to make sure our nervous system is in the proper state to actually allow our body to detoxify. So the nervous system really runs a show with a lot of things. As a lot of listeners would know, like when you're stressed out for a long time, you don't feel very good. Like for some people, they might actually like clench up so much they don't actually go to the bathroom for a few days. So we've got our autonomic nervous system composed of the sympathetic and parasympathetic branches. And the sympathetic we know is our fight and flight nervous system, while our parasympathetic is our rest and digest. Now, the parasympathetic is where all these detoxification reactions happen. So if you're someone who's stressed out all the time and you're smashing all these detoxification supplements, they may not be working as effectively as if you were to just, save your money and go on a holiday, perhaps, and actually just chill out, relax, and get really parasympathetic, when you feel that, when you have like a nice meditation, or like, you have your shavasana after yoga and you have that nice exhale, and that's that really like nice parasympathetic calm feeling. And that's really crucial to detoxify, really. Yeah, I think that's like the place to start, really, like looking after the nervous system.
Yeah, I have so many clients who actually do tell me, I don't know, I was on holiday and everything was fine, and now I'm back to normal, and like everything is going down again. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, it's a major issue that we're so stressed all the time.
Fortunately, like a lot of things that are going to help with stress are also going to help with the liver. So I think if we're looking for just like bile production though, like just specifically, I think taurine and glycine, they're two amino acids. They're really important in bile production. So having enough of those amino acids. also like a source of choline. So like that's like your egg yolks and things like that. Or also sunflower lecithin. Sunflower lecithin is quite high in phosphatidylcholine, which not only makes up our cell membranes, but it's actually a big component of bile. And also just like staying hydrated throughout the day. Remember, our bile is a liquid. So if you don't have enough liquids in your body, your bile is going to be of a poor quality. Then there are some other things like you can do, which are a little bit sort of more on the extreme end for some. And that's things like your coffee enemas or like your colonics. Now, this is just based on my own personal experience. So like going through this myself, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try a colonic and give it a go and see what happens. And then I started with the coffee enemas and, you know, it was a little bit of an uncomfortable experience many times, I will say. But I really felt like, especially with the coffee enemas, that I was getting a lot of like, my liver just felt great afterwards. Like I felt like a weight had sort of been, you know, shifted from there. And I was going to the bathroom much easier, much more frequently as well, I would say. Not that I was ever really constipated, but it just came out a lot easier. And I just felt a more lightness in that area. So that's something people can look into. Obviously, you know, like be smart about it. Coffee is a diuretic, so you got to make sure you're hydrated. And it's definitely not for everybody. And definitely not to have at nighttime because it can really, you know, ramp you up, I suppose. Yeah, those are some of the big ones. Even things like herbs like your milk thistles or your globe artichoke or gentian. These are bitters that our traditional herbalists, you know, would have used plenty of times and they still work these days. They're, you know, our choleretic and cholagogue herbs, which really enhance bile flow.
Yeah, so bitters. Everything
the bitter. The bitter the better.
Okay, cool. But back to the enemas. Would you recommend it for people who are like have chronic gut infection? Because I don't know, I saw a lot of people who might not tolerate, like it's not doing them any favor.
I haven't looked into this so much in many years. I probably wouldn't say that's the first start, like the first point to go. You know, you see a lot of things online where people are like, oh, I cured this and this with a coffee enema, and maybe it did help them, but that's not to say that it can help you. Not to say that it won't help you either. I think you just need to exercise caution, and the best thing is to be working with a practitioner who knows what they're doing, because you know, you can listen to me and Julia right now, but we're different to everyone else. You know, everyone's unique, and what's worked for us may work for you, but it may not work for you. And it may need to just be tweaked a little bit for it to work for you.
So, okay, like food wise, you would say, okay, bitter, artichokes, want to stop?
Gentian, dandelions, chicory, even
all
kale.
All the like, stuff we don't like to eat.
Yeah. Oh, even like the brassica family of vegetables, they have a lot of properties that, not necessarily for bile flow, but they're really, really fantastic for upregulating the phase 2 liver detoxification. And, you know, they have like our sulforaphanes, our DIM, diendol methane, all these compounds that are really good for helping our body to detoxify.
Okay. And then you said for the phases 1 and 2, like B vitamins, what else can we?
Choline, glycine. Let me have a look. Like antioxidants are really important, like your sources of folate. Your vitamins E, vitamin C as well. And then like you also need your like sulfur-based nutrients as well. They're going to be quite important as well.
And do you think that we always need supplements, or can we get these minerals and vitamins over nutrition? Can we eat certain stuff to help our liver?
It's a very good question. It's an interesting one, because like a lot of people, especially the old school herbalists and stuff, will say, you know, Mother Nature provides for you and you're fine. And that may have been true in their time, but I think we're dealing with a really toxic time. Like, you know, like I feel like everyone would have some level of toxicity in them right now, and unless you're really doing something for it. So I think, yeah, it's really good to have nutrition as the base, as a foundation. Like I would say, before you even look at supplementation, make sure you have a really good diet. But I just think for some people, it can be really beneficial to then include some supplements, just in the, like even in the short term, just to really ramp up production, maybe correct some deficiencies that have been hanging around for years, like especially with magnesium. You know, like a lot of us are so deficient, and you know, you can definitely get it from food, but our soils aren't really like, they don't have a ton of magnesium in them these days as our ancestors did, so there's a good chance that we're not getting as much and we just have a much higher demand. So I think there's that sort of like that balance between, like as Ben Greenfield would say, like, you know, the best of ancestral living and better living through science as well. So having the best of both worlds. So I certainly see a place for supplementation, but not before nutrition's looked after. The best bang for your dollar is going to be from looking after nutrition first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. It's so important, because like if you eat shit and just think a pill will do it for you,
yeah, exactly,
not the case. Like you have to look after yourself and like really take responsibility for your own body and your own health. And it's so important. So thank you for pointing this out. There was something else that I wanted to ask you. What can we do every day to support our liver, to support detoxification? Do you have any tips that we as a listener can do right now without maybe going to specialists? Just
like just specifically for the liver, or do you want to look at like detoxification in general? Both. I think with the liver, like the stuff we said, look at your plants, like they're gonna be really helpful here. And not all plants either. So I wouldn't really consider grains a health food, especially for the liver. But making sure you're getting enough fiber, because we need that fiber to help to help poop, which is how we get rid of the bile so we can actually get rid of these toxins. So having fiber in your diet, number one. Making sure you're getting enough protein, like enough amino acids in your diet. And there's certainly good ways to do that. Like, you can take your whey protein supplements, or you can just actually have, whole food sources. Oftentimes we hear in the media, oh, quinoa is high in protein. It's a complete protein. But in reality, it's not like a huge source of protein. You know what I mean? You'd have to eat quite a lot of quinoa to actually get enough protein in your day. So I'm a big fan of having a balanced diet, which includes like animal meats. And animal meats are really much easier to digest in terms of protein. Like, we assimilate a lot more of the protein. So that's a really good starting point, I would think, if you're into that, if you do eat meat. So make sure you have enough amino acids. Making sure you're just having a really diverse diet, I think, like that's like a really, really important part here as well, because we get a range of nutrients from different foods. What else? Keeping hydrated, of course, is important for any of your organs of detoxification. I really like this practice that I learned a few years ago. It was like a Qigong practice, which is just like a twisting. So it's like I keep my feet on the ground in the same place and like twist my torso left to right and let my arms float. So I'm sort of slapping myself almost, but that sort of twisting sort of applies a little bit of force to the liver, so it forces it to contract a little bit. And afterwards, I just feel $1 million. I really like that practice. Obviously, if you've got spinal issues, stay away from that. That's a really nice one for me. You can even do like some gentle liver massage. That's a really easy one to do, because the liver is our largest organ of our body, and it's just underneath our right rib cage. We can find it. So I'm sure you can find some videos on YouTube where you can look at ways to like massage the liver. I think bitter foods are quite important as well. Like on top of just having like our brassicas, like having something really bitter can really just get things going. And you have to taste it as well. That's really key. Like tasting it is going to make it so much better. So having those like alcoholic extracts of certain herbs, like I said, gentian before, globe artichoke, milk thistle, or even just like having some dandelion leaves before you eat, like that's a really good way to look after the liver. Just get it moving, like keep that bile pumping essentially.
Would you say it's better to have a liquid so that you taste it than having it in a capsule, dry milk thistle, and you can just swallow it but you wouldn't taste it? Do you think it does the same job, or would it be better to really do like a liquid herb extract and then really taste it?
I think there are benefits to both. Like there are actually taste receptors all along our, like a bit of taste receptors in very weird parts of our body that you wouldn't expect them, like in our lungs. Even for men, we have a bit of taste receptors in our testicles for some reason. So there is still benefit from even just swallowing these capsules. But I think the best benefit would be from actually tasting them. Like I think a lot of people who've had experience with bitters will know, as soon as that bitter touches your tongue, like you feel like your digestion turns on. You start to salivate. You start to feel things moving in your stomach. You might even just go poo straight away after that. Like it's really profound what it can do just from the tasting of it. Or I think a lot of people would know as well when they have like a sauerkraut or something, just that having it by itself, you get that, I'm actually salivating now, like talking about it, you get that rich sort of sour flavor in your mouth, and it really stimulates your digestive juices. And it's not really the same as like, if you have a probiotic capsule, you don't feel that same effect, do you? So there is definitely benefit from taking a supplement. And if someone's not going to have bitters at all, they just don't like the taste, a supplement's a great way to go, to get into your body.
Yeah, I do. Like, yeah, as I told you, I'm taking this, I don't know, wild garlic. Like I found the Latin name. It's Allium ursinum. So that's what I'm taking. It's an extract. Like it's so awful. It tastes so awful. But yeah, I have to do it.
If we feel great, we don't mind having something that tastes horrible for a little bit.
And we get used to it. To be honest, you get used to it. You get used to bitter taste. I remember that I didn't like Brussels sprouts, for example. Like they were too bitter for me, but I got used to it. Like I really forced myself, like, okay, Joe, you really have to eat it. And now I love it. I just love it. The same with beetroot.
Mm. 100% agree. Yeah. And then again, beetroot is like another fantastic one for the liver as well. Like having like a lot of betaine in it, which supports methylation, one of the phase two detoxification reactions.
Yeah. What else could we do for detoxification that is not maybe tied to the liver? You said something like dry skin brushing that could help. Yeah. How do we get the lymphatic system moving? Like, do you have any tips with that?
Yeah, I mean, we just have to move. That's the biggest one there. So if we're not moving, our lymphatic system's not moving. I know, especially with me, like I was very sick. Like I used to be like, I think I can try exercising again. And I would go for it and I'd be just exhausted for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'd feel like intense muscle pain. So a lot of strong exercise would add the system for me, but I could always walk. You know, that was actually like fantastic. It was a really great way to relieve stress and just get the lymphatic system moving. Deep breathing is another way. If you can't move all that much or you just want to relax, like deep breathing is another way to pump lymphatic fluid around the body. Then we've got other treatments like cupping therapy, like the Chinese cupping therapy. Mm. I think red light therapy also helps with lymph drainage, but you know, even in our showers, you know, alternating between hot and cold.
Mm.
And in terms of herbs, like calendula is one herb that we can have as a tea. Oftentimes we think of calendula as a herb we use like on our skin, and we definitely can. It's a fantastic herb for the skin. But we actually have it in the tea, and it's really indicated for like pelvic congestion in the lymphatic area. So a lot of women with, or a lot of herbalists will prescribe this for women with like menstrual difficulties or like who feel really heavy around their period. It just helps to clear out that lymphatic fluid. Then we've got like poke root, which is more for the upper lymphatic, so the neck region. This is especially like a really good herb for people who have suffered from Epstein-Barr virus, who like me have these swollen glands still in their neck, and it just really helps to clear that out. And even a herb like echinacea, when I was having echinacea tea, I would actually feel like over the course of a couple of weeks that the lymph nodes in my neck were actually starting to decrease, because it is a lymphatic herb. It actually, yeah, can stimulate lymphatic flow. We've got our teas and everything. They're great, but focus on movement first. That's going to get you like so much more than sitting down all day and having a tea to compensate for it. Just move it all. And even like a sauna therapy is another fantastic way to get lymphatic fluid moving.
I think you know a little bit about infrared saunas. Would that be better than like normal sauna?
I think one of the main benefits of an infrared sauna is it's actually really accessible for people like to have in their own homes. It can be quite expensive, obviously, but if you were to have like a wood sauna in your home versus an infrared sauna costs a lot less to buy and is a lot less to maintain as well in terms of energy usage. The one issue with like regular saunas is it just feels very hot, like your regular wood sauna. Just feels very hot. A lot of people complain that, you know, their nose is just feeling really dry and burnt from being in that sauna because it's just like so, you know, so dry in the air essentially. I think the difference with that is the heat from an infrared sauna penetrates your body a lot deeper than what a wood sauna would. So the wood sauna heats the air around you, and that's how you get heated up from it. Whereas with an infrared sauna, it actually heats your tissues directly. So we don't actually need a high, like as high a temperature when we're doing infrared, and we can sweat much easier usually with it as well.
I think in Germany, we're big on saunas, like normal saunas. And we like being in different parts of the world, I know that we have a culture around like saunas, thermal springs, not springs, but you know, we have all these like facilities where we can go to and like enjoy hot bath and like saunas, and like we have, I don't know if you have an English term for it, because like everywhere I go you have like a German term for it, like it's called Aufguss. Like you go into a sauna and they have this little program, and they might put water on the stove there and maybe some essential oils, and it's really great. It's like really heating up, you get really really hot. It's amazing, it's nice, and they go around with a towel and they make it even hotter, like moving the air around. So that's great. So, but I really want to try infrared sauna, but I've never seen this in Germany before. Like, I really have to check it out.
I think the wood sauna lobbyists have got to the infrared people and not allowed them in the country, maybe. I don't know. I think another thing you can do in the sauna actually is, I used to do this, is you can actually wipe the sweat off you, like with your hands and sort of, or even like have a shower intermittently, because if we're going to be excreting this, you know, if we're going to be sweating, we're going to be excreting some form of toxins from that. So if you're able to get off your body quicker, you're able to excrete it quicker. And another benefit is if you're like removing the sweat from your body is actually going to respond by producing more sweat. Just make sure you don't put your aluminium deodorant on to block that up, though.
Yeah. Exactly. That would be a bad idea. Don't do that. Don't use any deodorant with aluminium at all.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many options now. There's so many alternatives, so many deodorants without aluminium. Like, it's a really big thing in Germany. Is it a big thing in Australia too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, I remember when I was in high school, like, even when I was like 19, 20, like, I always had like a can of deodorant in my car just in case we're going out.
Yeah.
I remember me and some of my friends would, like, you know, before we went out, we'd all like spray it in the cars. We're all like putting aluminium directly onto our armpits, and we're all breathing in all this aluminium as well from each other, like spraying deodorant in a closed car. So not the smartest thing to do, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Is there anything else you want to mention about detoxification? What's important? Is there anything I haven't asked yet?
I suppose like something that I found was like, we can detoxify our body, but we also have to look at detoxifying our environment. And that's like not just the things that we like take in, like, you know, we have to make sure we don't get aluminium in our body and stuff like that. Also just looking around at your room and the place you spend time in. Is it a clean environment? Like, have you decluttered your workspace? I think we've all sort of felt that feeling when we look at our desk and there's stuff everywhere and it's just like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Where do I even start? And then, you know, conversely, when we've actually just cleaned it up, we feel like, oh, this feels great. Like, I feel great. I feel like I can do things now. I have that fresh feeling that you get in springtime, you know, like you're feeling you've detoxified your sort of environment, I suppose. And also like detoxifying your thoughts. I mean, I know we're using the detox word here, but when I found out I had the mercury in me, I was doing like a detoxification protocol for about 2 to 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years. And like physically I was feeling a lot better, but like mentally I was still the same as I was beforehand. Nothing had really changed too much there. But then just something happened and it's like almost like my emotional body had to catch up to my physical body. And I just had quite a tough time like between like the age of like 25 and 26 where all these thoughts had come up and all these things I hadn't looked at and all these old patterns came up for me to, you know, detoxify, so to speak. So I think it's important to not just look at detoxifying our body and taking the pills, but to do the inner work and, you know, look at our emotions and look at the thoughts we're thinking and look at the words we're saying to both ourselves and others and look at cleaning those up as well. And, you know, like if something doesn't serve you anymore, like you might have some really disempowering language you use about yourself, like, oh, I'll always be sick, or I'll never be better, or I'll never be healthy. You might just say, you know, I'm not healthy now, you know, the key word is the now there, like, and I'm working on that, or I'm feeling a little bit better every day. Just like using like our language can be really important in helping us detoxify as well, because, you know, your brain listens to you pretty much. And, you know, your nervous system obviously is a big component of that too. So if you're saying really shitty things to yourself, like, don't be surprised that you feel shitty, you know?
Yeah. Problem is that a lot of people are not aware of.
Oh, of course.
And I'm not to themselves. Like,
yeah. You know, I still catch myself. Like,
yeah, it's so important. It's so important that we do that. And like the first step is like becoming aware of your thoughts and the language you use. And also important, like we're thinking about like, okay, how could I ramp up my detoxification? How can I support my body? And I think like a big part in how you can help or support your body is not taking, like not putting the shit in, like in the first place. Like, look at what you put on your body, like what lotions, what deodorants you are using, like what kind of cleaning products you clean the house with, and all of this stuff. Just be mindful about it. And also like your thoughts, the language you use, it's so important that we really be mindful about all of that and help our body to actually not have to detox that much, actually, because it already has to detox so much stuff by just, you know, like there's so many waste products in our body just because we are living. Like, it doesn't have to be that we have aluminium or mercury in our body. It just, there's so many waste products that at every second, I don't know how much waste is produced in our body, but just, you know, like our cells are functioning, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Just decrease the load on the body and just do less harm, less harmful things.
Yeah. And just, you know, have fun with it. This doesn't have to be like a, you know, I've got to have a big sweat session, I got to do this and that. Like, even something as simple as having a good night's sleep really can ramp up your detoxification. Like, I actually didn't mention this before, but our brain actually detoxifies when we sleep. It's called glymphatic drainage. So we've got a lymphatic system, but the brain has the glymphatic system, where our brain actually shrinks a lot overnight to allow space for these vessels to actually clear waste from the brain. So it's, you know, like even going to, you know, going to the spas and going to the thermal springs and getting a massage, they're all like, I think most people would agree they're pretty fun. I mean, some people don't like being touched, of course, but like, I love them. I love those therapies. And great news is they're looking after my body, not just my mind. Like, I feel great physically and mentally after those. And yeah, it's fantastic. Even just like sitting down with a loved one and having a chat, you know, like getting into that parasympathetic state, or, you know, hugging someone you love or being intimate with them, like you're releasing all those hormones and chemicals that get you into that nice relaxed state. So you're, you know, like if you're, you know, thinking about detoxifying, you can just say to your lover, hey, hey baby, you want to help me detoxify tonight?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, nice therapy options.
I don't know how well.
Yeah, very cool. Do you have any books that you could recommend on that topic?
Oh, that's a good one. I suppose I would recommend my Instagram channel. I've got a lot of posts on detoxification out now and coming up. There was a book called Holistic Help for Hemochromatosis. I mean, we didn't really speak about this, but iron is a thing that a lot of people have it in excess, especially men. So that may be one thing there. I did like The Bulletproof Diet and Headstrong, both by Dave Asprey. They both spoke about detoxification to some degree. And then there was a book by Jay Davidson. I think it's a Five Steps or something or other. That's his book. If you understand how the body works and what it needs, give it what it needs, and then manipulate the pathways if you want as well. But even just working with a practitioner is really helpful.
If you go to a naturopath, also like in Germany, at least, yep, there are different modalities, like they're specialized in different things. I don't know, if you go to just someone, he or she might not know anything about hormones, might not know anything about the gut. They might just know like other stuff or just general. It's really important that you maybe go to someone who's specialized in a specific thing you think is important.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, again, like we all sort of do the same basic training, but yeah, at the end of the day, we all have our areas. Like, I've lived this, so this is why, you know, I know a bit more about it than some of my classmates. You know, I'm not going to pretend I'm fantastically well-versed right now in females' reproductive health, because it's something I don't experience, you know, so, and it's not something I have a huge interest in at the moment, but that may change, of course. So same is with detoxification. If you're looking for someone, you know, not just anybody will do, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, thank you, Stefan. Is there anything else you want to mention? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
One thing I forgot, which is quite important, really quickly, just the importance of binders. So we did speak before about that phase three detoxification, and making sure we're not recirculating these toxins in our body, and having binders like our activated charcoals, our bentonite clay, our fulvic acids, our modified citrus pectins, all those things, we actually, and chlorella as well, we actually need those compounds to help our body detoxify, like help grab onto these toxins so they're not just recirculating our body. They can be really great to be used before a sauna session, or even like if you're doing a protocol for the liver, whatever it may be, I think binders are a really crucial element of detoxification these days. And even fiber to some degree is a binder. So it's not like we have to go through all these crazy supplements, but just, you know, eating a whole foods based diet, and then make sure you've got adequate fiber in your diet can also help with that.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a good tip too. Yeah, when I had my mercury fillings removed, I also, like the dentist gave me a binder. So that's good too. But yeah, fiber, like to an extent, is a good binder too. So just eat your fibers, guys. Yeah. Eat it. Okay, Stefan. Like, where do we find you? Like, we put everything in the show notes, like your Instagram. What is it called?
Stefan Filippo Health. So StefanFilippo Health. And same deal with my website. It's just StefanFilippoHealth.com. Those are the two main places to find me. Otherwise, I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
want to fly over from Germany?
Want to fly over and just say hello? Like, you can do that. I will say hello back to you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I put everything in the show notes. And thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, ich liebe es immer so mit Stefan zu sprechen. Nicht Stefan, sondern Stefan. Er ist tatsächlich, glaube ich, italienischer Abstammung und deswegen, ja, Stefan. es ist immer wieder toll, mit ihm zu sprechen und ich freue mich unglaublich, dass ich ihn in den Podcast tatsächlich einladen konnte und wir einfach mal auf Englisch quatschen konnten und ich hoffe, dass du das ein oder andere doch verstehen konntest und ich sage es nochmal, du findest die deutsche Übersetzung natürlich auf meiner Website. Da habe ich keine Mühen gespart, sozusagen, dass du wirklich auch viel von diesem Interview trotzdem mitnehmen kannst, selbst wenn du eventuell das ein oder andere nicht so verstanden hast. Ich möchte dir jetzt aber sagen, dass ich ab April den Podcast nicht mehr jede Woche herausbringen werde, sondern der wird alle 2 Wochen kommen. Das hat gar keinen so speziellen Grund. Mir macht das immer noch unglaublich viel Spaß. Aber das ist hier eine One-Woman-Show sozusagen. Und ich mache das alles komplett alleine. Und ich habe einfach gemerkt, dass es so Dinge gibt, für die habe ich momentan gar keine Zeit, weil ein Podcast, der nimmt sehr viel Zeit in Anspruch. Und ich wirklich mache das auch super, super gerne. Aber in diesem Moment muss ich selber, ich predige das immer, ich habe das auch in meinem Hormon-Kick-Off-Kurs gepredigt, dass man sich auch die Zeit für sich selber nehmen muss und mit seinen Energien sehr gut haushalten soll. Und naja, wenn ich das so sage und mein eigenes Leben angucke, bin ich da nicht so ganz auf dem rechten Weg und mache nicht so ganz das, was ich tatsächlich auch immer allen sage, was sie tun sollen für die Hormonbalance. Und deswegen habe ich mir gesagt, oder das hat sich einfach so gut angefühlt. Es kam so mitten in einer Nacht. Es fühlt sich gerade gut an, den Podcast alle 2 Wochen rauszubringen, damit ich einfach auch, wenn der Podcast rauskommt, noch viel Themen viel besser aufbereiten kann für dich. Vielleicht noch bessere und tollere und wirklich, also nicht bessere oder tollere, sondern einfach grandiose Podcast-Gäste in den Podcast zu bekommen. Und dafür brauche ich natürlich selber auch Energie, ja, damit das hier rund läuft und ich hier auch die Informationen tatsächlich geben kann, muss ich auf mich selber achten. Und das macht keiner, ne? Nur du selbst achtest auf dich und dementsprechend auch nur ich selbst kann auf mich Acht geben und meinen Energien haushalten. Und auch im Hintergrund arbeite ich natürlich fleißig an ganz vielen anderen Projekten und auch dafür versuche ich gerade tatsächlich ganz, ganz, ganz viel Energie freizuschaufeln. Und vielleicht in der Zukunft, das möchte ich überhaupt nicht ausschließen, ändert sich das auch wieder mit dem Podcast und dann kommt er vielleicht wieder wöchentlich, auch wenn ich eventuell mal etwas mehr Hilfe tatsächlich an die Seite mir nehme. Ich habe gerade eine wundervolle Praktikantin bei mir seit Anfang Februar und ich könnte gar nicht dankbarer sein. Es ist wirklich eine so unglaubliche Hilfe und es ist so toll, weil ich schon merke, wie viel mehr tatsächlich geschafft werden kann, wie viel mehr Input ich dir auch geben kann. Ja, also auch kostenlos auf Instagram, auf meiner Website, was da schon entstanden ist, einfach grandios. Und dann möchte ich dir heute auch nochmal sagen, dass nun endlich der PCOS-Untersuchungsguide kostenlos zu erwerben ist. Ich packe dir den Link zum PCOS-Untersuchungsguide in die Shownotes, wo ich dir wirklich alle Tipps gebe zur richtigen Diagnose von dem PCOS-Syndrom. Das heißt also, welchen Arzt soll ich da überhaupt aussuchen? Wann ist eine Blutanalyse überhaupt sinnvoll? Wie lange sollte ich nach der Pille warten? Welche Hormone sollen da überhaupt untersucht werden? Und was sagen mir die Hormone überhaupt? Das findest du ab jetzt in dem PCOS-Untersuchungsguide. Den kriegst du von mir komplett kostenlos. Das sind, glaube ich, jetzt weiß ich gerade nicht so genau, aber um die 10 Seiten, wo du all diese Infos bekommst. Also ich habe da gerne mein ganzes Wissen reingesteckt und ich habe mich auch dazu entschieden, das einfach so zu geben, einfach gratis, weil ich möchte, dass das einfach richtig diagnostiziert wird. Ich sehe nämlich so viele Fehldiagnosen, Frauen, die glauben, dass sie PCOS haben, aber gar kein PCOS haben und aber auch anders herum, ja, dass vielleicht Frauen einfach wissen, merken, da stimmt doch etwas mit mir nicht, aber ich kriege vom Arzt nicht die Diagnose und da vielleicht nochmal den einen oder anderen Tipp, vielleicht eine Zweitmeinung einzuholen und dann auch ein bisschen mit dem richtigen Fahrplan wo gehe ich denn überhaupt hin, welche Hormone sind wichtig, dass du einfach dann ein bisschen mehr Wissen für dich hast und ein bisschen was an der Hand hast, damit du für dich tatsächlich entscheiden kannst. Und ja, meine Liebe, ich wünsche dir jetzt noch einen wundervollen Tag. Du wirst ab April, also in der Zukunft, alle 2 Wochen wieder von mir einen wundervollen Podcast bekommen. Im April habe ich schon ganz wundervolle Podcast-Gäste für dich. Bedeutet aber, dass nächste Woche erstmal kein Podcast kommt, aber dann danach ein Podcast, auf den ich mich so lange gefreut habe und für mich gerade ein so spannendes und brennendes Thema ist und ich mich unglaublich freue, dass du in 2 Wochen diesen tollen Podcast auf die Ohren bekommst. Jetzt aber einen wunderschönen Tag, fühl dich umarmt, deine Julia. So, bevor du jetzt hier den Podcast ausschaltest, habe ich noch eine kleine Überraschung für dich. Und zwar hast du vielleicht, wenn du hier reingehört hast, ja Probleme mit deinem Zyklus. Dein Zyklus ist vielleicht sehr unregelmäßig, du hast sehr lange Zyklen, vielleicht hast du auch gar keine Zyklen, vielleicht hast du irgendwie einen Zyklus, aber gar keinen Eisprung da drin, vielleicht hast du mit deiner Menstruation Probleme, vielleicht ist sie sehr stark, vielleicht sehr schwach. Und hinter diesen Zyklusproblemen liegen meist hormonelle Probleme, also eine hormonelle Dysbalance. Und ich habe herausgefunden, dass es meist 4 Haupthormondysbalancen gibt: PCOS, hypothalamische Amenorrhoe, Schilddrüsenunterfunktion oder Nebennierenschwäche, die hinter diesem Zyklusproblem, hinter deinem Zyklusproblem stecken könnten. Und ich habe einen Online-Test entwickelt, der ist komplett kostenlos, der kostet dich 0 Euro, den du einmal für dich ausfüllen kannst online und dann eben ganz bequem in dein E-Mail-Postfach die Hormonstörung oder die Hormondysbalance, das Ergebnis bekommst, was auf dich wahrscheinlich eher zutrifft, um dich eben in diese richtige Richtung zu stupsen. Denn es ist so wichtig, dass wir wissen, was liegt denn eigentlich hinter meinen Zyklus-Disbalancen? Warum bleibt mir eine Periode aus? Die Ursachen können so unterschiedlich sein, aber je nachdem, was wirklich die Ursache ist, dürfen wir auch immer ein bisschen anders daran gehen. Ja, das heißt, wenn ich PCOS habe, dann bringt mir nicht so viel, wenn ich hypothalamische Amenorrhoe-Dinge tue. Ja? Oder wenn ich eine hypothalamische Amenorrhoe-Dinge tue, können die Dinge, die ich bei PCOS mal lese, die ich machen sollte, einfach meine Zyklusstörung, ja, oder den Zyklus einfach noch mehr in diesen nicht funktionalen Bereich drücken, ja, weil das einfach nicht die richtige Herangehensweise ist. Und deswegen habe ich diesen Zyklustest entwickelt, damit du für dich wirklich mal in die richtige Richtung gestupst wirst und da wirklich noch mal intensiver reingehen kannst und dass du endlich mal ein besseres Gefühl dafür hast, worum geht's ja eigentlich bei mir? Ja, worum geht's ja eigentlich? Warum ist mein Zyklus vielleicht nicht gerade so rund? Und ja, das findest du auf meiner Website juliaschulz.net/zyklus-test oder du gehst einfach auf die Startseite meiner Website, da einfach auf den Hormontest klicken und wie gesagt, der kostet dich wirklich 0 Euro. Du kriegst das Ergebnis ganz easy peasy in deinem Mailpostfach und das ist einfach ein gratis Angebot von mir für dich, damit du einfach ein bisschen besser in die richtige Richtung gelenkt werden kannst, weil ich weiß ganz persönlich, wie es ist, wenn man alles Mögliche versucht, aber eben nicht die richtigen Dinge und man einfach nirgendwo ankommt und landet und der Zyklus einfach nicht besser wird, sondern irgendwie gefühlt immer nur schlimmer. Deswegen schau da rein, juliaschulz.net/zyklus-test und ich schreibe es dir auch nochmal in die Shownotes und ich freue mich, wenn du da einmal vorbeischaust und für dich diesen Test, ja, einfach mal machst und für dich ein bisschen mehr in die richtige Richtung gestupst wirst.